Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
On this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart, we sit down and talk about leveling up part 3. Mind games. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart podcast. And as always, thank you for listening. Well, everybody, you're lucky enough to just have me on this fabulous Indiana day where it's in the low or high 80s, nice outside, and we're really enjoying it as our golf season is in full swing. And I hope everybody is getting out and enjoying it. John was unable to join us this evening, so it's just a solo act tonight. So what I want to talk about is the mind and the mind in golf. I'm sure we've all been frustrated. We've all might have tossed a club, yelled out some angry words, did many of things on the course we may or may not regret. But it all comes down to that 5-inch club between your head, as Hogan said. It's just that space between your ears that can keep you from having a good round. So let's look into that a little bit. You know, we had Justin McCranz on last week, and, you know, he started talking about focusing on some breathing before he hits a shot, calm your nerves. That's something you can do. There's a lot of books and a lot of studies that have been done on that. You know, the box breathing, you know, 4 counts in, 4 counts hold, 4 counts out. There's many things like that you can do. A lot comes down to, can you accept the good as well as accept the bad? You know, like John and I have talked about previously about putting, you really can't, if you sit down and think about it, you really can't blame yourself if you putt on at a particular spot or on a particular line and you start your ball on that line, but, you know, you just maybe misread the green. Maybe you got a little bobble from a divot. You know, it's hard telling, but that doesn't mean you're a bad putter. That just means you might need to work on your green reading a little bit. But if you roll your ball on the right pace and it just doesn't make it into the hole, you've done all you can do. There's a lot of stuff like that. I know I struggle with it. It's just like, maybe you hit a fat shot out of the fairway. You know, can you get over that? Can you move on to what's next? I think Lou Holtz had a pretty cool quote when asked what's something he would tell people if it was just one thing about the mind and how to act and how to succeed. And he said, win. And they were like, well, of course we want to win. He goes, no, W-I-N, what's important now? It's like that, and it's like, you know, we heard Bob Kitchen on a episode a while back where he said, do the next right thing, and that pertains to everything, not just golf, but in life. But what Lou Holtz said and what Bob said are pretty important, if you think about it, is what's important at that moment. If you hit a bad shot, you're just going to have to move on to the next shot. It's trying not to carry that shot with you or that frustration. And I know that's a very difficult thing to do. I've been there. I've been that guy just barely getting down the fairway because you just get so frustrated. Your swing gets quick. Your swing gets short. Some people, their swing gets long. they just lose track of where the club head is, and bam, they just keep continually doing the same thing over, and you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting, as Martin Hall says. So there's a ton of things to go down to on this road of the mind and staying calm, staying patient. A lot of it falls back on being where your feet are. I think that was a really good quote. I can't remember exactly who said it, but if you think about it, if you can take yourself out of that mindset of when you're in the golf cart, let's say you just bogeyed hole three, and then you start thinking about, I need to do this, this, and this to get that back. Bad mindset, but, you know, thinking into the future instead of just what's important now, do the next right thing. You know, if you do that, most of the time you'll find you'll play very well. I know from my perspective is if I'm playing with somebody that's struggling and they're welcome to me, you know, kind of helping them out, you know, saying, hey, try this and try to get them work through it, my game's a lot better because then I'm not focused on what I'm doing. Excuse me. And I think a lot of that is the truth. It's the fact that we live in a world now where you have anything at your fingertips. You can be just overloaded and overwhelmed by golf information. You could be standing there on the tee going, okay, keep my weight in my midfoot. You know, I want to make sure I keep my wrists at this angle. I want to feel like I'm turning my shoulders, not so much my hips. You start getting all these thoughts in your head instead of just hitting the ball, kind of like you did probably when you started playing. You were just out there with your, you know, out there just trying to hit the ball. And, you know, that's kind of like when you hear sports athletes talking about being in the zone. And that's what it is. It's the lack of thought. It's just being where your feet are, playing the game, addressing each situation, and moving forward. And if you sit in the cart and you're constantly thinking about what you need to get that back, getting that back turns out to three more bogeys on the next three holes. Because you're trying to push it, you're trying to force something. If you hit, your next shot wayward, then you're already thinking you're getting a bogey there instead of, hey, let's get out of here and see what let's just hit this next shot. What's important now? Let's hit this shot, get in play, get on there. Good chance we walk out with par. It's no different than if you miss a par three, a little left. You know, you chip up and you try to get that par. You just that's all you really need to do, and try not to focus so much on what happened previously, because there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change it. You got to learn to let that go to play good golf. And you'll find as this series continues, and we'll have a couple more guys on there that are low handicap players, and that'll be a theme. You know, it's just they just, hey, you know, I hit a bad shot, I'm going to recover. And that's kind of a really good mindset of just knowing and being very factual with yourself that you can recover. You can hit out of the crap. You can get yourself out back in play. As long as you don't do, and you know what I'm going to say, is the hero shot. I think we all fall prey to that. You know, everybody's like, oh, I can get it up there from here. Just last weekend, or just the other day, it was just last weekend at Fowl Golf Course up in Bloomington. I hit a chunk of fairway or a chunk of rough that was smaller than the fairway. And I'm like, well, I can hit that, but I can't hit the fairway, which is three times as wide. Interesting. But I know I can get out of there. You know, I know I can get the ball back in play. And I just went up there and got the ball back in play. I mean, that's all you can do. And just keep reminding yourself what's important now. And then it's just making that next shot. But as I was saying, we'll have some players on here that are, you know, that are plus handicaps, and it will be a consistent theme that, you know, it's to them, it's, you know, it can be another shot at just doing something really good, you know, instead of going over there and seeing a small gap in the trees and trying to whack a four iron through a 3x3 opening in a tree and then penalizing yourself, just compiling and compiling extra strokes on top of extra strokes to get out of there when you could have just went out sideways, hit a low one, just got it out in the fairway, took your medicine, so to speak, and moved forward. You know, and I read an interesting article not too long ago that said that a lot of times we sabotage ourselves. And although I'm pretty sure most of you know that, but not just on that, even on a situation where they were measuring brain electricity and stuff like that, brain waves, and they could see people over certain putts and the way their mind worked, they determined that, you know, you're almost sabotaging yourself because you're standing there. Well, you know, I think this breaks right. I think it breaks left, or or whatever. And then your hands just go, and you push it or you pull it, and you miss it. And then the next putt, your bogey putt, just rolls true. No thought, nothing. They just rolled the ball right in the hole, and that just shows you how much you really have working against you. And how hard golf truly is. You know, like we say on here, you know, it's just you, the ball and the course, you know, and you're the only one to blame. You're the Indian. You know, you're holding the arrows, so to speak. So it's not as simple as it sounds. Working on your mental game is not as simple as it sounds. Like I said, you have box breathing. There's a lot of studies out about picking a spot on the ball or putting a dot on the back of the ball and focusing on that, and even putting a dot on your club face right on the sweet spot. And your only job is to try to match those two up. Consistently try to hit that dot on the back of the ball with the dot on the club. And I know everybody's probably seen that, Irish guy yelling and screaming. I forget what his name is. He always yelling at Marucci. And if you've seen the one where he has the flat stick and a flat board, you would, you know, and he's like, well, you would never go over the top to try to hit this flat stick on this flat board. You know, you would swing it around here to hit it. And it's completely true. You know, it's even like if you're hammering a nail, you don't whip your arms around and come over the top to hit a nail. You just hit the nail. And that's kind of the thought process behind the dot. It's just the fact that if you take your mind off the actual ball and onto something else, they've seen great improvement. So it's something you may want to try. I don't know, kind of think I might try it out at the range just to see how it works. But if you think about how good your buddy's practice swing looks as compared to the one when you put the ball in front of him, it makes a lot of sense. And there's other things you can do that's recommended, like maybe a sort of action before you go into a shot. Whether that's, you know, maybe you're back looking at the shot with your club in your left hand, but when you or your right hand, and then when you move that club to your left hand, when you go in to get ready to take your tee shot, that's kind of the action that starts your focus. That's kind of the point where you're like, okay, you're shutting everything off. You picked your target and you swing at it. And you accept what happens, or maybe you picture the shot shape. But once you grab that club with your left hand, that's all it's about. It's just, and then really, if you think about it, you're focusing for 2 seconds. It's actually less than that, but it's really 2 seconds to get that club back and back down to the ball. And yes, I know, it sounds so easy when I say it out loud, but you know, give it a try, you know, work on these things and realize that's a lot of where your game's coming from. You know, it's like the old, that, you know, that people always talk about. If you were tossing a ball to your buddy, you know, you wouldn't be going through this big thought process. You know, if you're throwing a football with your friends out in the yard, you're not using a range finder. When you play basketball, you're not measuring the hoop. Granted, I realize you're also not throwing a basketball, you know, 230, 250, whatever, 300 yards at a stick sticking out of the ground either. I get that. But I bet you if you put a cone out in a football field and you chucked a football at it, you'd come pretty damn close. So there's that. So if you really sit back and think about it, this may help your game. There may be things that I say or that you've read and you think, hey man, maybe I'll try that. You know, especially in putting, you know, we all talk about it. You know, there's no better golfer than the second golfer. And that's kind of part of it. And that's where the sabotage yourself things come in, is the fact that once you've missed, now all of a sudden you don't feel any pressure. But why were you feeling pressure the first time? Why are you applying expectations and pressure to yourself about a shot you haven't hit on, you know, or, you know, you're never going to get that shot again. But at the same time, we put that pressure on ourselves. And it's even out with our buddies. It's not like you say, well, in a tournament, you can see this is why I got pre, you know. Okay, maybe. It's still the same process. I guess if you could say it was to win a match, but still the same process that you need to go through. And it's still the same. It's still the same in tournament play. If you miss a putt, that second golfer still just knocks it in without thinking, and it's about the truest stroke you've ever had. It's the same thing a lot of times off the tee, or maybe you foul one in the in the crap on you have to drop in the middle of the fairway. You know, it's also like, you know, they say the easiest shot in golf is the layup on a par five. You know, you're just hitting it down there, and you're really trying to land it in whatever 30 by 30 yard wide area. And rarely do we make a mistake on those. So I hope everybody just kind of listens, and I'd love it if you guys got back, you know, hollered at me, or even if what I say makes no sense or you don't agree. But, you know, this podcast is something we set out to do, not only to help people in golf in general, but to talk about this kind of stuff. I think we're all, myself included, we're all pretty hard on ourselves. There's a lot of studies out there that show that negative self-talk is very, very bad for your golf games, to say the least. You know, instead of going, all right, we got this, let's move on to the next and try to stay as positive as possible. And I know that's difficult, but it's worth a shot. Yeah, it might be better than the spot you're in now. You know, I know a lot of people that have kind of given up the game, you know, just get so frustrated and aren't playing anymore. I know I've been there. I know I've had plenty of my fill of frustration. I've tossed some clubs in my time, and you know, it is what it is. But now I know better, and I will say with my hand held up high in accountability that I work on it every time I play. And I don't think one time that I've been 100% yes yet, but I've been pretty close. So anyway, just want to put this short one out there. We'll get John back on. We've got some guests coming up. Probably going to have Mr. Tex Lawson on. We've got a interview with EA Carts. We've got an interview with Mr. Kitchen that's coming out this month, obviously. And we've got a few others in the pipeline. So as always, thanks for listening, and you guys have a great day.